Well, joining the program now, I have Symphony in the Valley, and with me now is the conductor of Symphony in the Valley, Kelly Thompson. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Good.
Also joining me is, let me get my notes here, Amanda Watkins. She is the manager of Symphony in the Valley. Hello, Amanda.
Hi there. Thanks for having us today.
You bet. And Mandy Gessler, the pianist, joins us too. Hi, Mandy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Well, we're talking because, my goodness, it's Beethoven's 250th birthday. And by the way, the picture of him on your website with a mask is pretty hilarious. Whose idea was that?
I think we kind of all came to that idea. But Adrian Prosser, she does all of our graphic design. So she did the work on that.
So you are marking the occasion with a fundraising concert, which is taking place next week in Newcastle. Kelly, maybe you could tell me a little bit about what's happening.
We're just really glad to be back and performing again. Obviously, this has been a challenge for musicians worldwide during this whole pandemic that's happening. To perform, we've done a lot of things online around the globe, but to actually get together and perform music live has been kind of set aside for a while. But thankfully, we were able to find a location where it's a big enough room that we could socially distance while we rehearsed. So that's what we've been doing. And it allows also for us to socially distance with an audience even. So, we won't be able to get 400 people in the room, we should be able to get 150 or so in there as in an audience, and still spread out well enough to do all the things we need to do to perform together in a live environment, which I think is really nice to be able to do again finally.
So it's refreshing to have a real-time event instead of all these virtual events that everybody's
right.
been reduced to. So that's really fortunate. Just for people to know, it's at the New Hope Church in Newcastle. Where is that church?
It's basically right next to the City Market in Newcastle, so right off the interstate exit. It's really easy to get to, just to the east of City Market. You can't miss it.
And you're running two performances, one Friday, October 16th, and the other the following evening, both starting at 7. Is that correct?
Yes.
You know, I don't know, Kelly, if you're the person who can answer this best, but, you know, Beethoven has so many incredible works. How do you choose for a Beethoven program?
You could probably play for hours if you could if you could keep up the fortitude yourselves, but there's just a ton to do there, but we wanted to highlight Mandy on the piano, and so basically just asked her what she wanted to play, so that made that easy on me. And then Egmont is a really interesting piece. We're doing the Egmont Overture as well, and that is, I think, it's really good for this time. It's just a very moving piece. It was a story about, it was basically a story put to music. We're just doing the overture part, but it includes, the beheading and, getting up to the climax is really big, major Beethoven sounds, right, that we're all used to. And then it goes into a major key at the end and is kind of a resolution saying, hey, it's all going to be okay, is kind of what we believe is happening there. So hopefully that kind of speaks to the current times that we're living in right now too.
Now, do you have a full orchestra for these performances, or what, have you stripped it down a little bit? What's the configuration?
Well, we're Symphony in the Valley, so we're a community orchestra. We're generally a little smaller than a typical orchestra anyway, but we're even smaller now just because it is, the situation that we're in and having to socially distance. We were able to put together a pretty good crew with strings and woodwinds and brass, and you know, what we're playing just basically has a single percussionist anyway, so and you know, fairly light on the brass, so it worked out to do that. We are also allowing some small ensembles to perform along with us, which also allowed us to socially distance. They could rehearse in different rooms, etc., and spread out. So we've got a brass quintet and a clarinet choir and a flute trio, and they're all pretty much, we're all doing Beethoven. So it's, wow, it's going to be an evening of Beethoven.
Well, Mandy Gessler, I'm very curious to discover what pieces you chose.
Well, we're just doing, I'm just doing one piece with the orchestra, and that's Beethoven's fourth piano concerto, the first movement. And I'm really excited to be able to do this with the orchestra, because as a pianist, you tend to avoid learning concertos, because in order to perform them, you need an entire orchestra. You can't just do it yourself. So it's really rare to have this opportunity. And Beethoven wrote five concertos, and I have actually already played the third with the Symphony in the Valley a few years ago, and that was a great time. And the fourth concerto has been on my list for a while to learn, and I'm hoping to learn all five, of course, and you know, maybe even play them all with the Symphony in the Valley at some point through the years. But yeah, Beethoven's been close to my heart since I was about 10 years old, and will remain so. So this is an exciting year for me, unfortunately, that, you know, got a little bit thrown off by COVID, but I'm really glad to have something going on that we can do live.
Well, take me through the process of learning a Beethoven concerto. Do you sit alone in a room with a piano and the score and you just keep playing? And how do you get it in there? Have you memorized it, for example?
Yeah, you know, wow, it kind of memorizes itself after a while, because you put so many hours in that you don't have to necessarily intentionally memorize, at least in my case. The biggest thing is that I've heard this piece and, you know, all of Beethoven's piano music since I was a kid. So it's in my ear, as well as, you know, Happy Birthday. It's just there. And so I can really rely on that. And the score is just about, you know, learning how to do it physically. So yeah, it is just hours and hours and hours of practice alone in a room, which is, again, why it's so nice to play with an orchestra, because being with other people is, it really inspires me to do my best.
Do you have permission, either from Kelly or the orchestra, or maybe from yourself, to improvise? Maybe that's heretical, to improvise in classical music.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because in Beethoven's day, that's what they did. It was very improvisatory, and that sort of died off in the classical piano tradition, I think, as a result of recordings, also competitions. You're supposed to just play exactly what's on the page, exactly what Beethoven wrote, and that's just expected, and that's how I was trained as well. So I don't think I would be comfortable improvising, but at the same time, you want the performance to have, you know, this character or the nature of improvising, so that, you know, in the audience's ear, it might be that you are just making it up on the spot. And that's especially true in the cadenza, which in a concerto is the section where the soloist plays alone for a while, and the orchestra comes back in for the end. And actually, a cadenza was traditionally always improvised, especially in Mozart's time, you know, just before Beethoven. Beethoven and Mozart did too, but he was actually the first to write out the cadenza note for note. So here he's saying, improvise this exactly. He did give us instructions, and yet it's supposed to be so ingrained in you that it sounds like you're just making it up on the spot. So that's my goal.
Well, Kelly Thompson, conductor of this piece, you do have almost a duty, don't you, to impose your own interpretation on the piece?
I mean, you can definitely play with tempos and things to a degree over what may have been originally thought of by the composer. But again, kind of like what Mandy was saying, we tend to follow what is traditionally done. today in classical music and not change a whole lot with that. Although, you know, we've been known to to put our own little spin on things, for sure.
So let's see, the Egmont Overture, the Fourth Piano Concerto. What else is on the bill?
So, like I say, we've got some other small ensembles that are doing things. And honestly, I don't even have that entire list. I know the brass are doing the Pathétique. I think they're doing a little bit of Feralise, perhaps, and some military marches. But beyond that, I'm not 100% sure what everybody else is doing. I'm going to hopefully get that list soon, and we'll get it in the program.
So 250 years later, why do you think Beethoven still moves people? Any of you can pick that up.
I could give it a shot. That's a great question. You know, Beethoven was one of the first composers to really be composing as an artist. He considered himself an artist and not, you know, if you think about Haydn, he was working for the courts. He was, you know, composing what the prince wanted to hear. And this was generally more pleasant music, and this was dance music. And Beethoven comes along and he has some strong emotions. He's losing his hearing throughout his whole life. He has one health problem after another. He has problems with relationships. He tried to gain custody of his nephew for several years, and just, you know, he felt a lot. He had a lot of life experience, and as we all do, but he gave himself the permission to put it into his music and not care about pleasing the aristocratic folks, you know. And I think that it speaks to all of us, because we all have these problems with love and money and life, you know, and it's all right there in his music.
So he was the first to pour that kind of humanity into his work, is what I hear you say.
Right. And he was, you know, he was working, he was sending things to publishers. He was much more independent. He wasn't part of a court, which was what happened basically before him, is that musicians were servants. They used the back door. Beethoven only used the front door. You know, he knew that he was going to be important because he knew that his music was reaching people. So he gave himself the permission to write what he felt.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Amanda Watkins, let's go to you now. I understand that the mission of Symphony in the Valley is simple and sweet, enriching our community through live musical performance. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit and tell us why Symphony in the Valley has been around nearly 20 years now.
Yeah, we have. We've been around for a really long time, and we actually still have some musicians that have been with us since the very beginning. And the beautiful thing about Symphony in the Valley is that anyone is welcome, any age, really any instrument. And you know, you don't have to be a professional musician. A lot of us have, you know, careers that are not in the music realm. And it's just such a wonderful thing. And we've just been so successful over the years with also inspiring young people, maybe, you know, down like middle school age, that they're not being challenged in their middle school band, and they have the opportunity to play with our group a little more advanced music and gain exposure to the classics. You may not see that in band, like Beethoven and Mozart and all those, you know, those type of pieces.
You know, for most of this nation's history, a city has really arrived on stage, so to speak, once they've acquired a symphony orchestra. I wonder if that's your experience in this valley, too.
Yeah, I think that says a lot about our town and our community, that we are able to have an orchestra and keep that orchestra for, you know, over 20 years. So it shows that we have a lot of talent and people from all, you know, walks of life that like to come together and play this very unique type of music.
I know that you have lots of programs to reach out to the community. Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of those.
Yeah, actually, Pat Fitzgerald, he couldn't make it today, but he has spearheaded our instrument gifting and donation program. So we are taking donated instruments from people in the community, and we're giving those out or kind of lending them or gifting them to students in the Valley. We're going to be giving a bunch of stringed instruments to the Roaring Fork Youth Orchestra. That's really exciting. And we've got a few kiddos with some wind instruments in their hands at Glenwood Springs Middle School. And so we're really excited to kind of, that's kind of in the initial stages right now at this point.
Is the Roaring Fork Youth Orchestra part of Symphony in the Valley, or is that a separate organization?
It is a separate organization.
Okay. Huh. But that's really cool that the youth are coming up with into classical music. That's really something, if you ask me.
I agree with you, because the public schools here in the Valley do not have orchestras. They don't have string programs.